Congregation, let's read together of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7, on page 34. Page 34, Lord's Day 7, questions 20 and following. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Answer, no. Only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Question 21. What is a true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge, whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart. That not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe all things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us? Question 23. What are these articles? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and what follows? As you see, congregation, tonight's topic is true believing. True believing. Of faith. True faith. With the help of the Lord, three thoughts. Why we need it. What is it for? And why only? Why only faith? And secondly, what is it? And in the third place, whose duty is it? So true believing, why we need it, what is it, and whose duty is it to believe? Is it, does anyone have the duty to do that, or no? Congregation, you've heard last Sunday about the mediator. You probably like that question. 18. Who then is that mediator, who is also in one person both very God and the real righteous man? And the beautiful answer, our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally he came. Finally he is talked about, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is given, is made unto his wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's enough. He's the Savior. He can save people from their sins and make it well. But then the next question, of course, is who benefits from that? Did the Savior come to save our people? Do we need something extra on top of that Savior? How does he become our Savior? Are all men then, as they perish, now saved by the Savior, saved by Christ? And that's a special question. The answer is very serious. No. Not everyone will be saved. Not everyone goes to heaven. There's a Savior who can save all people. A loving God who has sent his only Son to the whole world. He could save all people, but not all people will be saved. No. Absolutely not. We are not universalists, telling that all people will be saved, that there is no hell at all. No, only those who are engrafted into him, only those who are implanted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means that when you evangelize to people at work or in public transit, you talk to people on the street, you can't say, well, he loves you. Just believe that he loves you. He came to save you. He will forgive you. He has forgiven you already. Just believe that he has forgiven already. You can say that. They're deceiving. You must say, not everyone will be saved. You can be saved, but you need to be engrafted into him and receive all his benefits. Receive. What does it mean? That's ambiguous. You know what it means? Ambiguous means it has two meanings, at least. Receive. Some receiving is the opposite of, what's the opposite of receiving? Stealing, right? You can steal it or receive it. But sometimes the word receive is something else. Receiving is the opposite of rejecting. I don't want it. I'm not going to receive this. I'm not home. I'm not willing to accept this. Just go to another door. So sometimes receiving means getting it, and sometimes receive means accepting it. What do you think is here? I receive all his benefits by a true faith. So it's receiving in the sense of the opposite of rejecting. I'm not going to reject it, I'm going to receive it. I'm willing to accept it by a true faith. And they that receive it in the true faith and accept it in that sense, they will be saved, because by that faith they're engrafted in him. For the young people, for the children, think of a bridge. There's a huge, deep ravine, and there's a bridge, a suspension bridge or so. It's the only way you can come to the other side. So, is it enough that there's a bridge to get to the other side? No. Why not? But you can stand before the bridge and not go over it. So you have to also stand on the bridge and walk on the bridge and get to the other side of the ravine. Right? And so in the true faith, there is that gulf. There's that the chasm, that deep ravine between God and us because of our sins. And there's no way we can ever cross that. There is a bridge. That's the Lord Jesus. And it's not enough. We need to walk on the bridge. That's believing. True faith is coming. True faith is an activity of the soul. Believing is not something that's a substance in your hands that you can put in your pocket. It's an activity of the soul. You see, your soul moves in God's way. So believing is a vital link. It's the only link. It's the only possibility to walk over that bridge by faith, by true faith. It's the only way. John 14, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See that? It's the only way. He said, I'm the way. There's no other way. You may look everywhere to be saved and to be reconciled with God and look here and there. There's no other way. He is the way, with capital letters. He is the way. I am the way, he said, to make it clear to all of us. And he said, I'm the truth, and everything else is a lie. And he said, and I am the life, and outside me it's all death. So we really need a Savior. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. And the only door. And the only vine. And the only resurrection. And the only bread of life. And the only good shepherd. And the only Alpha. And the only Omega. It's so exclusive. The Lord Jesus is such a vital link. Believing in him is so important. All things are delivered to me of my Father, the Lord Jesus said. All things delivered by my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. See? So the Son must reveal him. That's so necessary. Because he is the only door to enter in. The necessity of that faith. Therefore, we conclude that the man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Without faith, it doesn't smell good. Without faith, it's sin. Without faith, it can be so civil and look so good and look so obedient and so fantastic. It's sin. God wants faith in there. Without faith, impossible. No matter how sound in doctrine and how well meant. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. That's so evil. Do you know that? Some people are proud of it. Say, I'm not stealing. I'm not taking it. I think I'm good. And here it says, an evil heart of unbelieving in departing from the living God. And to whom swear he that they should not enter to the rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's the Bible. It's an absolute necessity. Sola fide. Sola fide, meaning by faith only. So why was that new in the time of the Reformation? Well, did the Roman Catholic Church teach then? By works? Actually not. Because the Roman Catholic Church tells us officially that we cannot do good works. Do you know that? Roman Catholic Church says you cannot do good works by yourself. Only if you're baptized. Only if you partake of the sacraments, then you have the ability to do good works. By God's grace, you have that possibility. You don't have to, but you can. Through the sacraments. We say, no, it's not through the sacraments. You know, you go to the hospital, you get an injection. And so they say in the Roman Catholic Church, it's a gratia infusa. You get infused into you. When you have baptism, something happens. You get grace into your soul. So you can do good works from that time. No. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible says not by the sacraments, but by faith only. Abraham believed God, remember? And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Oh, that evil heart of unbelief. Of in departing from the living God. So it is more a relationship, not by the sacraments, but by a relationship. The Lord is really pleased with that. And sinners seek salvation all in him. The core, the essence, is that salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's missing, no matter what, the Lord must hate it. By faith only. So are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? No, only those that believe in him. Only those that are engrafted in him. Because engrafted in him, like a vine engrafted, that's by faith. By faith, your sin is engrafted in him. It says here, by faith. engrafted by faith. So if some would say, but the text came to me, I love thee with eternal love. Is that not good enough then? Because that's not per se faith, right? You receive a text that is so beautiful and so overwhelming. I love you, I love you. And you cry and you feel humbled. Well, I would not dare to go to the Lord's Supper with that. That's a deep impression, and you feel kind of jealous. But there's no faith in there. Where's the faith? The movement of the soul to take refuge into the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in Him, to seek salvation only in Him. Where is it? Where is the Savior? Where is Christ Jesus? Believing is believing in Him, right? By a true faith engrafted into Him, into the second person. Or if someone had a dream about being in heaven, when someone hears audible voices, all those things are secondary. And maybe it's your mind, and maybe it's your upbringing, maybe it's your psyche. But if it is from the Lord will lead you to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and you need Him, absolutely. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. That's what the Bible teaches. So you must know something, you must love the Lord Jesus Christ, and if not, you're accursed. That's the meaning of anathema, accursed. There's no other gospel. There's no other Savior. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not heard, not accepted, you might well bear with him. But that's impossible. We need that true gospel, the true Savior, the true word of the living God. So, yes, it's necessary. We need it. And we need it because God cannot be satisfied with anything else but the Savior, Jesus Christ. So go to the second thought. What is a true faith? What is it? You know, maybe you have relatives or friends or neighbors, and they say, in your church, they make things so extremely difficult. You have to have this and this and such and so, and they add so much to it. And you know, you should just believe. You must believe. You're holding back. You must believe. Don't they teach it in your church that you must believe? What do you answer? Maybe you get sick of that pressure. You must believe. You must believe. You say, stop it. We can't. It's not true. It's deceiving. Is it? Maybe it is. But the thing is this. There are many texts in the Bible teaching us that we must believe. So how do we deal with that? You feel kind of uneasy, and people pressure on you, you must believe, and you say, it looks like Arminian. Yet, there are some texts in the Bible teaching it, and you feel uncomfortable. What do you answer? Well, they might be right. I think they are right, in that we have to believe. But they might be wrong in what it is to believe. See? People are right in the fact that you must believe. But they can be wrong in what believing is. So that people fake it and just assume things and pretend things. It doesn't make any sense. And say, yeah, you must, right? You must believe. So that's why I do it. and they're so warped, their opinion on what true believing is. So it is absolutely crucial to teach what true believing is, so that people don't just take a step and are mistaken. And again, I think the Bible teaches that we must believe, but it's so important to know what it means to believe. Because if you're wrong on that point, we spoil it all. We are so wrong. We are deceiving people. And as a minister, you always feel that it's the tension. You may not deceive people, right? That's such a danger to deceive people. So we can just try our utmost to not let anyone pretend, to not anyone let come to the Lord Jesus Christ in such a fake way. But is also something else. We should not hinder anyone either. So not hindering anyone tonight and not deceiving people either. Who is sufficient to do that? May the Lord help in preaching and help in listening. So we don't deceive anyone and not be an obstacle to others. So what is it? What is a true faith? True faith? Why true faith? Some people are irritated about that. True faith. Why always true? Why there's not? There's only one faith. Come on. You don't have to say true faith. There's only one faith. That's not true. The Bible teaches of other faith. The Bible teaches that the devils believe. And they tremble because they really believe in God. They really believe in God's holiness. They really believe in God's power. They really believe in hell. They really believe in God saving people. They know those things so well, and they're so wrong. And their faith is not saving at all. But the Bible says they believe and they tremble. So we need a true faith, not that faith. We know of King Agrippa that Paul talked to him and said to him, I know that thou believest. Paul, what are you saying? Yes, he knew that King Herod Agrippa had respect for the Bible and believed in creation and in the prophets, in the Psalms. He knew that. He said, I know it. You are familiar with that. You know the scriptures. You believe in them. He was not saved. He knew the truth. So people can believe and not be saved. People can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him with their lips, and the heart is far from him. It's possible. It's not enough to just believe. It needs to be a true saving faith. So, yes, I must encourage you and command you to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they also have to explain what it is. So true faith is not only. It is not only a certain knowledge. What does certain mean? A certain car, a certain house, a certain suit, a kind of. No, that's not the word certain here. The word certain is, I'm sure about that. I'm certain about it. I'm not lying. I'm convinced about that. That's the word certain here. So faith is not only a certain knowledge, something you're convinced about. It's more. But also that It's also a certain knowledge that you're so convinced of the truth of it. You know, you may have had questions about creation and authority of the Bible. When true faith comes, it takes that unbelief away and you begin to be convinced this is the Word of God. That Bible is the Word of God. And the mountains and the skies and the flowers and the grass, it's all created by the hand of God. You believe it. You're convinced about that. We call it sometimes historical knowledge, historical faith, right? You believe in the resurrection. You have no doubts about the crucifixion. You have no doubt about the fact that Jesus is the Savior. The only thing is, you don't trust in him. You see the bridge. You don't walk over the bridge. So faith, true faith, is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word. And that knowledge is not just a cold knowledge, right? Some people have the ability to memorize a page in a telephone book. And they just absorb it. It's a photographic memory and they know it. The certain knowledge of all those telephone numbers. But that's not the knowledge the Lord gives his people. The knowledge is personal, experiential, warm, loving. It's a relationship with someone. So that's that knowledge. A true knowledge, certain knowledge, whereby I hold for truth all that God revealed us in his word. But also an assured confidence. An assured confidence. Someone wrote, when the Lord gives a new heart, your taste buds change. And you read things differently, and you absorb the Word of God differently, and you just taste it, and you feel it. You have a certain personal warm knowledge of the truth. And I like John 6:35 about this. You find the word to hunger, to believe, and to thirst, and to come together. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, the bread of life. He that cometh, what is that? He that cometh to me shall never hunger anymore. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst anymore. So again, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth shall never thirst. Now you write it below each other. You see it, that believing and coming is the same. Believing is a coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. To trust in him with that assured confidence. Not so sure of yourself, but sure of him. Of that Savior Jesus Christ. To rely on him entirely. To seek your salvation only in him. And have that confidence that he means it. That his invitations are sincere. That he is not deceiving us. You know, it's to be appreciated. If you fear to deceive yourself, because you can. You can. But he won't. God will not deceive anyone. His word is the truth. He doesn't lie. So when you see a word in the Bible, an invitation, a calling to sinners, you must believe that it's true. Believing is a coming, a certain knowledge and a coming as well, a movement of the soul coming, right? Coming is It's a moving, right? A moving of the soul. A hungry soul seeking salvation in him, laying the hands on that scapegoat and seeking salvation nowhere else. That assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart. By the gospel. By the gospel. It's not just, oh, what a wonderful feeling right there, certainly. I feel kind of lifted up. I feel light in my head. I feel kind of the Lord is speaking to me. The Lord is close to me. That's new age. But that's so different from the Bible. So different from the true faith. The true faith is based on the Bible, based on the promises, the gospel in the Word of God, the gospel invitations, right? The Holy Ghost works there. We cannot make it ourselves. We are dead in sins. We are unwilling to do so. Something is keeping us back. We are too proud for that. But the Lord works it by the gospel in my heart. And then my heart believes in him. My heart is moved towards him. And I lay hold on him. And some of our forefathers said, and then we use him as our mediator. So that's more than receiving a partial Christ, it's receiving him as a full Christ. That believing is kind of emotional, right, in my heart. It does not only change the will, it also moves me within. It's emotional. And therefore, true believing goes together with loving him. It's faith working by love. There's a treasuring of him. There's a delight in him. Seeing him, coming to him, close to him. Wanting more of him, hungering of him. You say, minister, I just believe in him. I don't talk about hunger. Don't talk about thirst. Don't talk about delighting. Don't talk about all those feelings. Don't talk about love. I only believe, right? That's enough, right? No. That's not enough. Well, you said by faith only. And now you say you need more than that. No, I didn't say more. I said that's in it. In true believing is love, is appreciation, are those feelings that is in love. So people may accuse us of that, that we are adding things to love. You must have this and you must have that. It's never enough there in the NRC. You must things. And that's not biblical, they say. That's adding to the Bible. No, I don't want to add anything to the Bible. True faith is enough. But how do we define that? What is the true faith? In true faith, the Holy Ghost works in the heart. And then you appreciate. Then you come. And then the Holy Ghost is moving you. Some say, well, but I'm just a babe. I don't know much about those things yet. You know, but I'm just a beginner. And I just simply believe that I'm okay. And I trust the Lord will teach me more in the future. Well, that sounds kind of infantile. That's kind of a negative word for babyish, for childlike, for too simple. That's not what it is. Even someone younger in true faith finds salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't add. We define it well. We don't add, He defined it. So when people say that to you, your church, they add things. You say, no, we don't add things. We define faith in a different way. Or also this, we don't teach conditions. We teach marks. Make sense? We don't say you have to have this and that's the condition and there's another condition. And no. No conditions, marks. This is what faith is. Faith is a movement of the soul to Christ. It's a treasuring Him. It's a loving Him. It's a needing Him. It's a hungering of Him. If that's present, absent, then there's no faith at all. Also, the parables teach about that quite often. You know, most parables are about almost in. Seed that falls in thin topsoil and gets warm quick and sprouts out, and you see the blades and it looks so promising. But the sun is coming and it's getting too hot, and all those plants wither and die. And there are five wise and five foolish virgins, right? And there are two types of seed in the field, tares and wheat. And so many of them, five wise and five foolish virgins, so many of them teach us that we should not just believe, but have the true faith. That not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God. Merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. So the Lord empties first. I'm not adding anything now. I'm just defining, explaining what believing is. What is believing? That the Lord empties you of your own self-righteousnesses. You cannot do anything yourself. You're so dependent upon the Lord. And you seek your salvation outside of self because it's freely given. Freely given by God. Merely of grace. It's quite emphasized, right? Freely given. Merely of grace. Only for the sake of Christ's merits. Quite something. And yet, it's a gift. Faith is a gift. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled when he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. Because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted. So that's also in the Bible. We cannot. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. He works it through the gospel, in the heart. Very emotional. It's a gift. And we cannot believe if the Lord does not work it. However, believing is not a thing. It's an activity of the soul, a taking refuge unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and it comes with love, right? It comes with, what else? What would you say? It comes with humility. It comes with brokenness. It comes with uprightness. It comes with delight. It comes with a firm resolution. It comes with so many things. True faith is so precious. Just fill it in biblically. Don't shallow it. Don't empty it out. And so the Lord gives the remission of sin. Now don't forget this. Described here is the ideal faith. Faith, mature faith. Faith explained from the Bible. But God's people don't always have that assurance. There are also times that they cannot come so far as they would like to. The little ones in faith, standing afar off. And yet sometimes they can't help it. And they believe it. Given by the Holy Ghost. In their hearts. So in that sense are engrafted into him. To the sea by a true faith. Brings to the third thought. The congregation, is it our duty to believe? Kesela? Is that proper? Is that biblical? The duty to believe, the command, the responsibility to believe? Because when you say that, when you say that we have the duty to believe, you kind of assume that we can believe, right? No. I don't assume that. I thought I said before, we cannot. But is it possible that we must do things we cannot? Is it possible that you have to pay your debt and you cannot? Because you lost your job and you cannot pay? Is it possible that we must obey the law of God and we cannot? So the Lord says, oh, don't obey the law anymore because you cannot. No. So, I understand your hesitation, though. The duty to believe. As I said, I'm concerned about them that push it so hard, so that you must believe, not explaining what believing is. If you don't explain it, it's dangerous. If you don't explain what it entails, it is deceiving people. As if believing is just pulling a blanket over your head. Just not to think anymore. Just blank out. Don't think. Just assume you're fine. Just assume that Jesus died for you. That's the best. If you don't do that, that's unbelief, right? So just believe you're fine. No questions asked. I'm concerned about that. The Lord is also not asking a duty faith. Not asking to the faith. The Lord never said, well, just pretend. Just do as if. Just do your best. No, the Lord says, I want the real one. The real faith. The true faith. The saving faith. But I can't bring the saving faith myself. I know that. But the Lord says, that's what I am commanding. To give your heart. To give you everything. But let us be careful that we don't overreact to that and say no. We don't tell people to believe because that's deceiving. That's hindering people. We may not hinder anyone either. We must say, the Lord calls you. Boys, girls, listening at home, parents, beloved ones, the Lord really calls you. Not? Isn't he calling you? He's not? He is. And we're not Arminians. Neither we want to paralyze people and say, believing? You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. So, that's it. Just after it. That's paralyzing people. I may not go that route either. I must preach that the Lord is requiring a true, saving, biblical, real, biblical-based faith. You remember that story that was read this evening? The Lord Jesus asking the father of that boy, how long is it ago since this came unto him, that he was throwing himself in the fire and almost drowned? And he said, of a child, since a child. And oftentimes it has cast into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do something, if thou can do anything, have compassion on us, Lord Jesus, he said. If thou can do something. What did Lord Jesus answer? If thou can believe. If thou can believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I like that. That father felt that he had to believe. He couldn't. He had to, but he couldn't. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That's so biblical, right? That's not can. I can. I can do it. I can believe. No problem. That's not what it is. Neither. Well, I cannot do it either. You know. I just don't want to go the route. No, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Or think of that man that was born blind and was banned from the synagogue, excommunicated, and the Lord Jesus found him. Jesus heard that had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Who is he, Lord? That I might believe in him. And the Lord Jesus said, It's me talking to you. And he adored him. He worshipped him. But keep in mind, we preach that we must believe with a true faith, although it is a gift of God. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. All that the Father has given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me will I in no wise cast out. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. See? Now, sometimes people say to me, Pastor, minister, I don't know what to do. I just can't believe. I tried it. I'm trying for years to believe, and I pray for it. I just can't believe. I can't get myself so far. I don't want to fake it. I cannot do it myself. I'm just torn, and sometimes so discouraged and so dark. I really don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end, believing, and I can't believe. What do I say? Let me talk to the person, to the friend, who just said, I can't. I have tried. I don't want to deceive myself. I can't. So I notice something in you that you want to believe, right? You kind of want to believe. But you can't. But you don't take that easy. You don't say, well, I just can't. No, you say, I feel I have, but I cannot. It's your need, it's your necessity, it's your burden. I'm happy to hear that. And they also hear that you cannot. You know, so many people in this world think that they can. I'm happy to hear that you can't. I'm happy to hear that you want to. I'm happy to hear that you cannot. You have the gift of knowing that you cannot. And maybe the Lord is teaching you to completely despair of anything in you. Maybe the Lord is teaching you that there's no expectation whatsoever of you. That you can't even believe. There's nothing you can do. The Lord is teaching you, maybe, right? So I'm happy to hear that you have to believe, that you cannot believe. You have that gift of knowing that, of that impossibility. And now I'd like to say something from Isaiah 50. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. So, give up. Give up. Give up pressing yourself. Give up trying to believe the real way. Rest in him. Look upon the Savior Jesus Christ. You don't have to bring anything. You don't have to qualify anyhow. It's all in him. Don't come with your believing as in a work. Don't try hard with bring something else instead of the law. You bring the gospel. You bring the faith to the Lord. No, you don't have to. The true faith is that you cannot believe and that you even expect your faith from him. And that's also true for God's people later on. They have times of darkness again and no light. And they feel kind of, I can't bring myself back to that place that I truly could give it over in the hands of the Lord. They can't repeat it themselves. And then to learn this, to learn to walk in darkness, having no light, and yet trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon that God, stay upon him, leaning hard on him. Say, Lord, I can't even believe, but I rely on you in all things. You know, am I now deceiving people? I hope not. Am I now hindering people? I hope not. I think this is the Bible. The Bible teaching us what true faith is and also what's needed and also the responsibility to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, true faith. Why we need it, what it is, our duty. I hope you come to your senses, maybe tonight, by yourself, considering the sermon of this day, and to think about it and pray, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and seek your salvation, not in your faith, but in the Savior. Not in your feelings and emotions and experiences, but only in him. Salvation only in the Savior Jesus Christ. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of a Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. So next Sundays, we hope to begin with explaining what the content of the faith is. But now it was about the necessity of it and the truth of it. Congregation, also this sermon, somehow will testify against you in the day of judgment. This sermon of tonight softens you or hardens you. Either way. It makes you more responsible, that's for sure. You've heard the gospel. I hope you have no excuses at all for not believing. May the Lord take them all away. And you completely rely on that Savior Jesus Christ, not coming with something to pay, to merit anything. But you know, think about it. Don't harden your heart. Don't procrastinate. Don't seek salvation in self. Your own good doings, but only outside of self and another, in that precious Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the mediator between two parties. No, not media in the sense that God the Father is moving and changing his mind and negotiating. No, not at all. Not in the sense that we can bring up a mediator that is sufficient. No, the Father himself makes a mediator in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that mediator pays himself the price. He is the only mediator. And we need to be engrafted in him, because not all people are saved. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? No. No. Think about that. No. May it also echo a long time in your heart. No. You need to be saved, and you can be saved. The door is open. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. Amen.